The lectionary reading being heard in English-speaking churches in this country and around the world on this third Sunday of Advent is in Matthew 12. Listen for God's word. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation within each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Moments ago, we heard words from the scroll of Isaiah for the lighting of the Advent wreath. "Declare to those who are discouraged, be strong, fear not, for God is coming to rescue. And the desert shall bloom and flourish and break into song." We Americans have some deserts. I've seen several of them. They're filled with cacti and other plants adapted to arid conditions. Hear that? Filled with cacti and other plants adapted to arid conditions. Our American deserts, with the exception of a few dunes and maybe the Bonneville Salt Flats, do not tend to display utter barrenness. And the largest dune in North America, you know, lies entirely within the borders of the great state of Nebraska. I know the Sand Hills pretty well, having been born in Valentine and raised in Broken Bow on the south edge of the Sand Hills, made the trip between many times across those Sand Hills, which are covered with hardy grasses that keep the sands of the Sand Hills in place. Now, what a contrast we see over the last several months from the work of photojournalists who are covering the ongoing struggle in Iraq and Syria against the so-called Islamic State insurgency. Now, there are some pretty barren landscapes, and the years of war have only made such landscape more bare. What a stunning metaphor for the despair that can and does occasionally come into our lives. Despair which must today dwell closely with the people who have been oppressed by ISIS and with those who are now fleeing from Aleppo. The barren desert is an image employed in the scroll of Isaiah for the way life is before the transforming power of God, a desolation in the landscape mirroring the despondent condition that can come into the human soul. But the bleakness of the desert is not what this prophet wanted to proclaim. That's just the precondition. Rather, he is promising joyfulness because of the hope of the coming reign of God. Now, the theme of the third Sunday of Advent is universally joy. In fact, it's called in the Latin calendar Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete meaning joy. Isn't that clever? And that's the reason that in the traditional liturgical scheme of things, the third candle of the Advent wreath is softened from penitential purple to pink, because it is the Sunday for joy as we hear the encouraging words of Scripture. What the prophet is proclaiming is that joy. What is barren will bloom with color and life. In comparing the desert as it now is to places like Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon, the scroll of Isaiah is using images that the readers in that time would have known. For Lebanon in ancient times was known for its forests of cypress and cedar and fir. And the vineyards of Lebanon were renowned as the vineyards of Bordeaux, France are today. Likewise, the coastal plain of Sharon brought forth wildflowers in lush pastures, and Carmel was a mountain that teemed with alpine flora. So what now seems hopeless and dead, the prophet promises, will be transformed by God's purposes so that the barren desert itself will burst into song. Now, who were these people to whom these words were addressed, who needed that encouragement? Well, they obviously needed such words. They were the discouraged exiles living far from their homeland in Judea, across a vast and burning desert in the land of Babylon. Many of them were second or third generation exiles who had never even seen Jerusalem. And while their parents and their grandparents longed for home in Judea and asked, as the psalmist does, how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a strange and foreign land? These younger exiles more likely were wondering, why would we bother to sing the Lord's songs at all? I can imagine one of them having a conversation with a parent like this. Dad, you keep telling me about this place called Mount Zion in Jerusalem and the land of our ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But if that's all right, and God is really in heaven, then what are we doing stuck here? For us, holiday seasons come and go, a parade of Christmases. And with them come parades of tragedies, sometimes small, sometimes great, within the human story, within your story and mine. Not every year, but some years. And the carols and the mistletoe and the lights on the tree will not cover the immense pain that dwells in the hearts of many people this Christmas season who are encountering discouraging predicaments. And some may find themselves asking, if the message of Christmas is really, if that's right, and Jesus is God's Son born for us, then what am I doing stuck here? So after describing the blooming of a once barren desert for these discouraged exiles, the scroll of Isaiah shifts from description to prescription. It's the voice of prophetic command. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm feeble knees. Declare to the discouraged, be strong, do not fear. You know, God has created the human constitution in such a way that we can endure an amazing amount of hardship if necessary. But one element that any of us need to so endure is that of hope. Hope that this desert we're in doesn't last forever. With hope, we can find the courage to face many daunting challenges. So the work of the prophet was to encourage by pointing his exiled people to the hope that only God can provide. In our gospel reading, we find that John the Baptist is encountering a little different kind of desert. He's in prison, unjustly, having provoked the wrath of King Herod by accusing Herod of improprieties of which Herod was soundly guilty. Herod had married... Herod had married his half-sister, who was also his sister-in-law, his brother's wife. The intrigue and sleazy shenanigans of Herod's court were far worse than any televised modern soap opera. Far worse. So here is John sitting in this prison cell, unjustly, in a rather discouraging situation. He was one of a string of such people, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, unjustly in a Nazi prison. Nelson Mandela, for years, locked up in prison during the years of apartheid. More brief incarceration, but nevertheless discouraging, no doubt, in Birmingham, Alabama, for Martin Luther King Jr. Being in prison isn't fun. So John is discouraged, and he sends messengers to Jesus, asking if, were you the one? You know, months ago, I thought so, I proclaimed so. I'm having doubts. But when John no doubt heard of the things that Jesus was saying and doing, when the message came back to him, I know new hope was born in John's heart, that indeed his expectations were correct, that the Messiah was here. And with that hope burning within him, John could face his imprisonment. Indeed, John could face anything, including execution by beheading, which was going to befall him soon. The signs that Jesus offers to the messengers were simply to tell John what you've seen and heard. Events were unfolding that could only be from the hand of God's chosen one. Go tell John that, and that'll be enough. When we put our trust in Christ, no matter what desert we may be facing in life, we will find that our faith is vindicated by the same God who was with those exiles in Babylon, those exiles who had been encouraged by the ancient words in Isaiah's scroll. Our faith is vindicated by the same God who was with John the Baptizer as he awaited messengers to return with those encouraging words from Jesus. For the hope that God gives us will outlast every desert in life. It will outlast any prison of despair. It will outlast any exile from home. It will outlast any discouragement that you and I could ever face, for these trials in life have their limits. But the love of God that goes with us is beyond all limits. Imprisonment for John the Baptist ended, you know. Well, yes. It ended rather nastily with being beheaded. But remember what Jesus told his disciples: do not fear those who can kill the body, for then what more can they do? Because there's a limitlessness to God's eternal care, it means that if we face the end of life, God's purposes for us are still not thwarted. They go on. So no, we're not spared the deserts of life, not even at Christmas, or the exiles, or the imprisonments of despondency. Often those trials come to some people precisely because someone else has violated the rules for living that God has given. John the Baptist didn't end up in prison just, you know, out of the blue. He went to tell an evil man the truth, and a lot of times the powers of evil don't like to hear the truth. So John, yeah, was in jail. Well, we may not be spared the barren deserts in this life. Even at Christmas, we are given the encouragement that God can and will sustain us. So when you look within yourself, don't look at the desert, but rather look at the buds in the desert, ready to bloom, that point to the way out, to the basis of joy, regardless of our circumstances. Know that in every trying time, that desert has its limits, but God's love for us has no limits at all. Amen.